It's Senator Terry Bryant. Congratulations, Senator, on another term and another swearing in.
Thank you. This one is especially nice because it's my first time to have a 4-year term. So I've had only 2 years up till now, 2 years for each term in the House. And then when I came over to the Senate, I had a 2-year term that was left from Lutzefeld and Schimpf. And then, of course, you know, we draw under that new map, and I drew a 2-4-4. I'm finished with the twos for now, and this district now has 2 fours.
And, so, you know, some people may be surprised to know they go up to 6. Don't they?
No, not in the state.
Not in the state? I'm sorry.
The U.S. Senate is. Yeah, no. It's no problem. Everybody's confused about what happens in the
Senate. Well, I thought Lutzefeld was elected to a 6-year term once. I don't know why I thought that.
No, I think he had a 2 and then a 4.
Okay.
So you get, so it's a combination of 1-2 and 2-4s, and you draw it out of, sometimes it's Abraham Lincoln Tat. You go in right after the new map, and this district drew a 2-4-4. So I just finished up the 2, and now the district will have 2 fours, and I get the benefit of one of those 4s and hopefully another 4 after that.
All right. So now the session's underway. We're not a lame duck anymore. When I look at it, try to big picture it, you and the rest of the Senate and the House can't leave until there's a new budget? You can come back home and stuff, but the session, that's it. You got to get the budget done. This session has to be done.
That's the most significant thing, I think, for this particular year, because, you know, we all lived through that budget impasse between 2015 and 2017, and it's very difficult to pass a budget after we go into what ends up being supermajority needed, and, you know, from July on. So we need to get this passed. But to be honest with you, Tom, I don't know where the heads of, well, I'm sure some of the listeners will fill in the blanks, but the idea that we have additional money to spend when we already know that we have a $3 billion hole for this next year is just almost incomprehensible.
Okay, because this is perfect, all right? Because that was my next question on my list. Point blank, Senator Terry Bryant, will the state of Illinois require more from its taxpayers in this budget?
So for this budget, there's only a couple of options, and that is either you have to take more money from the taxpayers, or you have to cut. There are still some changes that we can make to reform. I mean, really, I've always said that the budget, you know, you can manage it in 3 ways. It's either tax increases, reforms, or reductions. And the Democrat side of the aisle has never wanted to do the reductions. And right now, we've made a lot of reforms. Of course, we handed them all of the money that they needed to get out of that budget impasse, and they've just continued to spend and spend. Just one of the points I could make here for just the stupid stuff that happens is the Illinois flag, changing the Illinois flag. So I sat on the flag commission. I tried to keep an open mind. I haven't had one person yet who's told me they want to change the flag. But yesterday when I talked to a couple of the Democrats, I said, you know, this has to go through both chambers. The Senate doesn't have what we call fiscal notes, where you ask how much is this going to cost, but the House does. So I'm going to be asking the House members to file a fiscal note to say, what is this going to cost? Because at every state facility, you're going to have to change out the old flag if you change to this new flag. And I believe we have an estimate, just a loose estimate now, of several million dollars just to change out flags. Why? So that's a silly little thing that you can look at to say they don't even get it that you can't spend that money.
All right. Now, here's another thing. The two P's, property taxes and pensions, and they intersect. T2, T1, probably the premier item when it comes to that?
Yeah. Well, yes. And Senate President Harmon, who is still the Senate president, indicated last year that he wouldn't allow any bills to be taken up that dealt with property tax issues because he wanted to do it as a complete overhaul of property tax reform. So let's see if that happens in this next year. I believe that he has a plan to do that, and he's, you know, he leads the majority. So maybe there'll be some property tax reform. But let's remember that the biggest part of your property taxes are for schools. And in the legislature, we continue to pass bills that put unfunded mandates on schools, which basically is a backdoor way to push up property taxes. So part of property tax reform is going to be having to look at the things that we have mandated schools to do so that we can reduce the need for that. And then that's going to trickle down to local governments, to school boards, to county boards, and so forth. So there is that. And then we do still have the Tier 2 pension issue. So we have, I guess, we're behind $200 billion in payments for pensions. There is some talk of re-amateurizing those payments, so the payments are not so high. Right now we're in double digits as a part of the state budget for making those payments, and I believe that we have to honor those payments. We have to pay them on time. I believe we owe that to those who contracted with the state to do it. We have the issue then also of the Tier 2 individuals, very unfair Tier 2 as opposed to Tier 1, and we're going to fall into this safe harbor issue very shortly where the state is either going to have to fix our Tier 2 pensions, or we're going to have to pay the federal government a whole lot of money into Social Security. So that has to be fixed.
What about this, Terry? Because I've heard an adamant on both sides, retroactive to 2012, positive and negative. I've had people tell me, no, that's not going to happen. Others say, yeah, you need to watch this because that could be a real risk. Not everybody would get it all the way back, you know, just all the employees since 2012 in Tier 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the safe harbor issue is a real concern.
Now, I talked to Brad Cole about that, and he says, don't worry about that federal safe harbor. This is not going to violate that. I talked to him last week.
That's the only – I didn't hear that. I'm hearing that secondhand from you, and I believe you.
Right.
But I don't believe that Brad is right, and I don't know what he's using to for that. Brad's my friend.
Maybe I misunderstood. So I'll try to get a clearer reading on that going forward. Okay.
Because
one of our listeners had brought that up too.
It's definite that it's going to be a problem for teachers, and so it's going to be it's definitely something that we have to address. Now, do we have to address it tomorrow? No, I think we have a little bit of time to address it, but it should be addressed during this period of time. Now, a lot of people don't want to re-amateurize the loan for good reason. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, what you would have at home. If you re-amateurize it, it just means we're probably going to have to continue to have that debt over us for the next 40 or 50 years. And so that's a real concern for people. But a bigger concern right now would be if we re-amateurize it, what are you going to do with the money that we're now not having to put into that payment? Because traditionally right now, the majority party, which happens to be the Democrats, spend that on new programs. Or right now, the city of Chicago is asking for a bailout of $1 billion they claim are owed to their schools, which is horse manure, because they already got to double dip into the school funding formula. Now they claim that they're owed another $1 billion. And that's, you know, that's Brandon Johnson, who no one is listening to a word that he says anymore. But when I say no one, I mean no one who has any common sense. There are still some legislators who do listen to him, and that was evidenced this past week by the fact that Speaker Welch didn't call a bill that had to do with regulating hemp. And that was a good bill. That would keep juveniles from being able to buy products that have a lot of THC in them. But Brandon Johnson didn't want it because he says he'll take a hit on Chicago city taxes for that. And so it didn't even get called in the House. So now there's this massive fight between Governor Pritzker and Speaker Welch over the fact Pritzker wanted it. A lot of Republicans wanted it. A lot of Democrats wanted it. So the Speaker didn't even call it. And so we're going to have this push back and forth now. Who does Brandon Johnson have stroke with? Why do we want to bail out the city of Chicago because they've been irresponsible again? And what are we going to do with the money if the pension debt gets re-amateurized?
All right. Now, here's interesting, because somebody who is a member of the Illinois Municipal League was listening to my comments. He said Brad Cole says it wasn't a problem. for municipal pensions, but maybe a problem for state and teachers' pensions. So I'm glad. Thank you for that note this morning. I really appreciate that. You know, on this property tax, I talked to Ella this morning from Johnson City. And Ella says, you know, I don't tax so good, but thank you for picking up the phone. You know, I heard you talking about property taxes this morning. It takes every single dollar that we can put in my account for me and my husband. I'm 84, live in Johnson City, just to be able to keep our home. And my home's not paid for. It takes every penny, and now they're talking about more. And here's another one. My wife and I have worked 40 years, still working, but are still trying to put together $5,000 for our property taxes in a small town of about 700. Here's Jay, a mutual friend of ours from Murfreesboro, and he was listening while you and I were talking about the flag prices. He says, wait till you get central management services involved. The costs will skyrocket. You were talking about the logistics of replacing that everywhere in the state. You know, and here's another one from Roger on something that you were just talking about. They want more money. Well, then they'll have to cut somewhere. And Roger says the only Illinois Democrats will never agree to spending cuts. The only way to balance the budget is to raise taxes. And here's another from Dennis who asks you a question. Does Terry have any idea what state aid for illegals costs per year?
Well, I can tell you in this present budget, the Republicans have identified about $3 billion of spending on illegal immigrants in various areas. Primarily, it's Medicaid for those illegal immigrants, which, you know, in Governor Pritzker's last speech, he continues to talk about Trump-proofing Illinois, because honestly, the federal government is going to cut Medicaid to the states that are funding programs for illegal immigrants, particularly in Medicaid. So I don't know yet what kind of bill will come out to increase how we're spending for that, but it's about $3 billion right now, and that's what we can identify. There's still a lot of hidden money within agencies themselves where they call it something that we just can't specifically identify. And, you know, isn't it funny that the gap going into this, not funny, ha-ha, but funny, crazy, going into this next budget year, that we have a $3 billion hole in our budget, and we're spending $3 billion on illegal immigrants.
Yeah. And there is an asylum seekers transparency portal at Susanna Mendota's website, Illinois Comptroller, as well. So something to keep in mind when it comes to state spending. And statewide, just looking to see if I can generate some numbers here, but I'd have to go through a bunch of graphs only. Before I let you go today, there's Karina's Law. There's J.B. Pritzker talking. He has to, you know, he doesn't know what Trump's going to do, but, you know, he's kind of focusing on health care workers and protecting the companies of the state of Illinois. I mean, if you get your pick on pointing something out today before I let you go saying, hey, keep an eye on this, what would it be, Senator?
Well, I would keep an eye on Karina's bill. I'm sure that it will get litigated. You know, I come from a background, as people know, where there was domestic violence and two situations in my personal life, both resulted in deaths, and neither of them had orders of protection. But in this case, it involves orders of protection, but it is still, I believe, an unconstitutional law. And that is because there is no due process involved. A person, if you're my ex, let's say, and I claim that you're crazy and your firearm should be taken away from you, you ought to have your day in court prior to that being done. Someone shouldn't have to go back and prove that they're not crazy. And so it'll be like many of these other gun bills that are presently going through the court systems and will ultimately end up in the U.S. Supreme Court. I believe Karina's Law will be there as well, and I don't think that it'll stand up. There were simple things in that bill that were asked for, like when the firearm is taken, that you record on the receipt the make and model of that particular firearm, and that they totally would not hear that. So you could have a $16,000 trap shooting shotgun taken, and then when it comes time to return it to you, they return to you a $250 Rural King shotgun, right? So those are not as important as keeping guns out of the hands of those who perpetrate domestic violence. I understand all of that. But at the same time, at all costs, we have to protect due process, because if due process is taken away from one person, it opens the door to take due process away from every person.
Yes, and that's one of the that's one point you need to hold on to once the door is kicked open, because it's always been, if you do just a little bit, if you compromise, compromise has been the road to hell for Republicans in the state of Illinois.
Yes, it has. So I would keep an eye on that, and I would keep an eye on what gets done about the city of Chicago. They threw away their money that was given to them during all of the COVID aid on baking in their teacher salaries, while all of the rest of us downstate used it to improve connectivity, to buy Chromebooks, things like that, stuff that we know that we were going to need going forward. They were one-time. It was a one-time payment that was used for one-time expenses. The city of Chicago baked it in to their teacher salaries. And now they want the rest of the state to come and bail them out because they were irresponsible with their spending. So I would keep an eye on that as well.
Before I let anybody go this morning, final words from one of our listeners on the American Monument text line. Now, it's a simple sentence, but once you accept this or think about the implications of this in Illinois when it comes to property taxes, you never own your home. Ever.
That's right. That's right.
And what that represents for a retiree, for somebody who starts, that no matter how hard you work, you never have it. You never own it because you got to keep paying the government to be able to keep it. News Radio WJPF 843.